On this last Sunday of 2018, I want to look at the example of Enoch in verse 5 and 6. I'm going to be preaching on Enoch in the morning service and from a different aspect of his life, and I'm sure that some of the things I preach on will probably be a repeat of some of the stuff we share this morning. Sometimes I get them mixed up, but but anyway, I've just been challenged by the Lord as I've been studying the example of Enoch. And this morning, I want to look at his testimony, the example of his testimony of how he pleased God. Let's begin by reading in verse 5 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, every Christian has a testimony. You could probably share how that you came to Christ and how you trusted him as your Lord and Savior. We all have a testimony if we're saved. But I want you to notice that Enoch didn't just have a testimony. He had this testimony. Notice what the scripture says again in the end of verse 5. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, not every Christian has this testimony. We have a testimony, but do you have this testimony of pleasing God? You know, many Christians today, it seems like they're more concerned about pleasing others. It's easy to fall in that trap and want to please other people. Many pastors wanting to please church members, or you know, many of us wanting to please our friends that are not saved out in the world. You know, there is a sense in which we should seek to please people. I will refer to Romans 15. In verse 2, where the Bible does tell us, in Romans 15, 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So there is a sense that we please people for their good, for their edification. We should seek their spiritual good. However, having said that, there is a much more important aim in life than pleasing people, and that is pleasing God. Pleasing God. You know, I like what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. He said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, I believe that one of our aims for 2019, I'm having to get used to saying that, 2019, should be to please God. We should please God. You know, sometimes that means inevitably not pleasing people. Think about that. You know, if we please everyone else, but God is ultimately displeased with this, it's not good. It's not good. But if we offend others and God is pleased, then that's good. You know, we want to have this testimony that Enoch had, a testimony of pleasing God. You know, as you study the life of this man, he's a very unique character in the Word of God. He's the seventh from Adam. He lived in a time in which it was very ungodly and wicked. In fact, Enoch lived 69 years before. I think he died 69 years before Noah was born. And so it was very close to the time when God destroyed the world, or the earth, with a flood. That was the time which Enoch lived, and it was an evil generation. In fact, in Jude tells this about Enoch in verse 14 and 15 in that one chapter. "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You know, Enoch prophesied that, according to Jude. Isn't that amazing? He, way back there, he prophesied the Lord's second coming in judgment. It wasn't a popular message, I'm sure, but Enoch pleased God. You know, if we're going to seek to please God, there's going to be a lot of times that people will not be happy with us. They won't be happy with us. We're not going to make a lot of friends if we please God. There are three things I want to share from these verses in Hebrews 11 about pleasing God. The first is this: to please God, you must have faith in Him. To please God, you must have faith in Him. You know, verse 6 here in Hebrews 11 is a very common verse. I mean, many people, many preachers quote this verse, but they don't always connect it with the verse before about Enoch. You know, it's talking about how Enoch pleased God, and then it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." There's two words I want you to underscore in this verse: the word impossible and the word must. You know, faith is not just something nice to have in your life. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's what he says. We just simply can't please God in 2019 without faith. We must have faith. We must believe in God. We must believe that He is. We must believe that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So we see that word impossible and then must. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." You know, as Miss Debbie was saying, those kids' parents don't believe in God. Well, that's not pleasing to God. We have to believe in Him, that God is who He reveals that He is in the Word of God. We have to believe in Him to please Him. And you know, on a human level, we can understand this concept. You know, if someone does not believe you or questions your integrity, it doesn't make you happy, does it? Especially if you're honest and you're telling the truth, to have someone call you a liar, that's not pleasing to you. Amen. Well, think about God. He is truth. Amen. His word is truth. Amen. What could be more insulting than to say to God, "I don't believe your word. I don't believe what you promised here in your word"? If we want to please God, we're going to have to learn what faith means and live by faith on a daily basis. You know, the author of Hebrews writes here, he says that we must believe that God is. I want to explain what I believe that means, that God is. I believe it means that we have to believe that God is exactly as He reveals Himself to be in His Word. You know, there's no way that we could know God apart from revelation. It's impossible. You can't know God, I can't know God apart from His Word, Him revealing Himself to us. God had to speak and reveal Himself to man. Because of sin, we've been separated from God. And I mean, without the Word of God, we couldn't know God. And so to believe that God is to believe that God is exactly who He says He is in His Word. You know, if you believe in a God who you conceive in your mind, that's an idol. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God. But it's not the God of the Word. It's the God of their own imagination. Or I believe the old man upstairs. I tell you, I don't like when people say that. Amen. He's not the old man upstairs. He is God. He is holy. He is righteous. He, don't disrespect God by using that phrase. The old man upstairs. That's disrespectful to God. You know, a lot of people are serving a God of their own making, of their own imagination. But if we're going to please God, we have to believe the God of the Scriptures, the God that revealed Himself to mankind, the God who's not only love, but the God who is holy. You know, the world loves to talk about the love of God. But God is also holy. He is righteous, and He is a God of judgment. You know, the world don't like to speak about judgment, but that's what Enoch preached. Behold, He cometh with 10,000s of His saints. He's coming again. The judgment is coming. So believe in the God who reveals Himself in His Word. And, you know, why would the writer to Hebrews write, you know, write this? Of course, he wrote on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but still, why would he say that? And I believe it's because those in that day, the Hebrews, these Christians that were following Christ, they were under persecution. I mean, you'll pick that up when you read through the book of Hebrews. He's writing to encourage them to be patient and to endure and to be faithful to Christ. And He's given them every reason of why they need to keep on keeping on for the Lord. And when you're under persecution, severe trials, it's easy to invent a friendlier God. That's why He's saying you have to believe that He is. That He is. It's not easy to bow before the God of the Bible who is sovereign over every trial. I mean, there's some hard things we have to face in life. And God is sovereign, and God allows and permits those things for His own purpose. We just have to believe God. That God is. That God is sovereign. You know, I think about Job, you know. God permitted his 10 children to die. Stripped him of his wealth, his health. But yet, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job had faith to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, Satan's going to tempt us in 2019. He'll tempt us when we go through trials and hard times. He'll tempt us to say, well, if God really loves you and cares about you, then this terrible trial wouldn't be happening. Or maybe God does care about you, but He can't do anything about it. He can't help you. But you know, it's faith that pleases God in times like that when we say, no, Satan, I believe God, that He is. I believe that God has permitted it, that He is going to reward my faith. I'm going to seek Him no matter what. So to please God, we've got to have faith. And, you know, I'm speaking of faith because this is cornerstone class in the sense of a Christian. I'm making that assumption that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are saved. Listen, we can't be saved by our works. It's by faith alone, by Christ alone. But I'm making application, not, you know, that we, in our Christian life, if we're going to please God, we must have faith. Amen. We must believe God. And that's why I encourage you to get in the Word of God, like get into a Bible reading plan. And because faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. The only way we're going to grow in our faith is get in the Word of God. You know, one of the things that has really opened my eyes is this new thing they have on the iPhone. It'll come up once a week and say your screen time. It'll tell you how much time you spent on your phone for the week and daily. I'm like, oh. It can be convicting. I mean, if you look at your phone, well, you spent 2 hours and something a day. And I'm like, I'm not sure that I've spent that much time with God. We need to be challenged because, you know, sometimes we can, you know, Satan can work through other means to get messages in our head and get us down and get us discouraged and get us defeated. We need the Word of God.
Amen.
Put the Word of God in our hearts and minds. There's a second truth we see that to please God, you must diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. It says, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe this is a parallel to that, He that cometh to God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know, I was looking up this cometh, this verb here, and it's translated in Hebrews 10:22, draw near. The word cometh means to approach. He that cometh to God means one that approaches God, one that draws near to God. Hebrews 10:22 talks about that we should draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. So I want you to think of that cometh to God in that sense of drawing near to God. So it's saying that he that draws near to God, he must what, believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the tense of that verb, cometh, is continuous action. It speaks of he that continuously comes to God. He that continuously draws near to God. See, that's parallel with this diligently seeking Him. Diligently seek Him means to search out, to crave, to desire. You know, I wonder how much we actually crave God. You know, we crave sweets. We crave a lot of different things. But what about craving God? What about desiring God? If we're going to please Him, we need that. We need to crave God. We need to desire Him, to seek Him. The Old Testament Hebrew word that's often translated seek in the Old Testament, it meant to beat a path underfoot. And I got to studying that, and the ideal is that if you sought your neighbor often, you would beat a path through the grass to his door. You know, we should seek God so often that we beat a path to him. You know, I told this story before, but when I read that, it reminded me of this story. A missionary telling a story about in this remote village in Africa, These people lived in huts, in one-room huts. They didn't have a secret place to spend time with God. And so they would go out into the bush. And so from all of these huts in that village of where there was a believer, there would be a pathway going out into the bush, because they'd go in that bush and they would find a secret place and spend time with God. They were beating a pathway. But they always knew when a believer was neglecting his walk with God. The grass would start growing up. And so they would go to that person and say, "Brother, your grass is growing." You know, we need to have this in 2019. We need to beat a pathway to God more than anything else. We need to seek Him diligently. That's the only way I can see that we can please Him, is to have faith and to seek Him diligently. But the third thing, to please God, you must consistently walk with Him. You know, in Genesis, in chapter 5, where we're first introduced to Enoch, it says in verse 21, Genesis 5, that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want you to notice twice it says he walked with God, and it says that when his son Methuselah was born, he started walking with God, and it said he walked with God for 300 years. We're talking about a consistent walk. Now, some of us like 300 years. Remember, this is before the flood. People lived longer. But what we see here is consistency. He was consistently walking with God until God took him home. Isn't that something? What a testimony. It was because of this faithful, consistent walk with God that he says he pleased God. He pleased God, and God took him home. There's a story that, it's a familiar story, this girl that went to Sunday school, she heard the story of Enoch, and she went home and told her mother, "You know, Mom, Enoch used to go for walks with God." And the mother said, "Well, that's wonderful. How did it end?" And she said, "Well, Mother, one day they walked on and got so far that God said to Enoch, 'You're a long ways from home. You better come in and stay with me.'" You know, you walk with God by faith in 2019. Seek to please Him with your life. And when you go through these horrible trials, if God permits them this year, just trust that He's with you. Just walk with God, and one day He's going to say to you, "You're a long ways from home. You better just come stay with me." Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if He just came for us in 2019? Yeah. I'm not talking about in death. I'm talking about in rapture. I'll share more about that in the morning message, but I believe Enoch is a type of last day saints that are raptured. He was translated. He was taken. God took him. He was not. Isn't that something? And He took him before the judgment of the flood. Well, you know what? Christ is coming to take His people before the judgment of tribulation. We need to walk with God, folks. Let's pray. Father, we love You today, and we thank You so much for the testimony of Enoch, and what a testimony he had. Lord, a testimony of pleasing You to the point that You just took him home without having to pass through death. Lord, I pray that You would help each and every one of us, that we would seek to please You in 2019. That would be one of our chief aims in this next year, just to seek to please you. Lord, we love you and we pray that you'd bless our service this morning. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you.